Hey everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome. We're talking about a very interesting subject about what takes place toward the end of the age, some people call it. And there's a lot of negative terms, been a lot of negative programs, but no, this is a very positive time. This is the greatest day of human history if you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're in the church, you're in a local church, you belong to the church universal. This is our finest time. God said the last days can be our greatest days, not our worst days. So the devil's always trying to lie and confuse and throw different stuff into the mix. We got to stay in the Word of God. You got to stay with the Bible. God wrote it all down. He's not going to change. I tell people, Volume 2 of the Bible's not coming out. God's hanging with Volume 1. So what we're going to talk about today is what we call, it's the church age. It's been going on for about 2,000 years. We live in the church age. Why? Because we're the church, the body of Christ. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, and we're going to cover that. And it's still going on, and it will keep going on until the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church takes place right before the tribulation where the Antichrist is revealed and he takes over. You got 3.5 years, you know, 3.5 years, and they make nasty movies about it, write scary books. It's all true, but we're not part of that. We won't be part of that. So we're going to cover that today. So listen to this. This is real good. Church age covers from the time of Pentecost to the time of the rapture. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not a real word, but there is a rapture thing that takes place. So I'll give you this. From Acts chapter 2 to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it's called the church age because it's the period of time when the church is on earth. It sort of corresponds with the dispensation of grace. And God's got a grace is the age of grace. In prophetic history, it falls between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel's 70 weeks. There's 1 week left at the end of the church age. It hadn't happened yet. That's where he's dealing with the Jews. And so there's 70 years of Jewish history left to be fulfilled. We're not in Jewish time. We're in church time right now. Romans chapter 1. Jesus predicted the church age in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So you and I live in the church age. It's the greatest day of human history. God's moving like a freight train. Now, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, you can read it because it gets kind of detailed. It's 70 weeks. And so people study it, and I've studied it, and I really like it. But we're not going there today. We're just going to let you know there's 7 weeks or 7 years, and we would call it today, of Jewish time left. We're at the end of we're in the churches. It got stuck in. God was dealing with the Jews. 69 weeks went by of Jewish history. There's 1 week left. The church age was born at the end of the 69 week, and it's going on. Then God will finish that last week. Acts chapter 2. Now, here's where it starts. This gets real good. Acts chapter 2. This is from the New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers. Now, Jesus has gone home. He got lifted up into the sky. He said, go and wait. Told his own mom, you go and wait in that upper room. Wait until I send the Holy Spirit back. I'm in a human body. I can only be one place at one time. But I'm going to go home, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. He can be with everybody, everywhere, all the time. So we're about to expand this church world. He said, on the day of Pentecost, all believers are meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everybody came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoke by these believers. Man, how'd they know our language? Verse 7. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, people of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya, and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. What were they speaking about? We're all speaking in tongues. What are they saying? Talking about the wonders of God and the great things he's done. They stood amazed, perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd saying, well, they're just drunk. They're just crazy drunk. No, no. Peter jumps in, verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, you all, fellow Jews, residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as you are assuming. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour my spirit on all people. What's going on? God's going to pour out his spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will also prophesy. Verse 22, people of Israel, listen, suddenly, publicly, God's endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs to him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and this prearranged plan was carried out. Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you people nailed him to a cross and you killed him. He's just kind of reading their mail this day. But God released him from the horrors of death, raised him back to life, for death cannot keep him in its grip. For King David said about him, I see the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad. My tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence. So verse 29, he's trying to explain what he's quoting scriptures, the Old Testament. He's trying to explain, listen, God told you about this. He told you this was coming. This day would come. Verse 29, dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David was not referring to himself, for he died and was buried. His tomb is still among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised an oath to one of David's own descendants, talking about Jesus, one of David's own descendants would come and sit on the throne. David's looking into the future, speaking about Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead. God would not allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, he's still talking. Peter's talking to this big crowd. Day of Pentecost, he's talking to him. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now, he is exalted in one place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, just you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Verse 36, now he's still talking. Everybody's listening. It's a wild day. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. The guy you killed, he's Lord Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? First, well, Peter said, each one of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children, to those afar off who have been called by our Lord God. And those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 that day. What happened? Well, the first church was 3,000. How'd you get them? They just all popped up in one day. They got saved in one day. I preached a sermon and 3,000 people got saved. And that's what happened. It says in verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals. And it was a deep sense of awe came over everybody. Now, it was an incredible day. So the church is born. When? On the day of Pentecost, the church was born, the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Talking about the resurrection. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so we not grieve like other people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who also have died. What's that going on? Well, something good's about to happen. We tell this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have all died will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we are still alive and remain on earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where we're going to meet Jesus? In the air. Jesus didn't come to earth. Jesus comes to earth at the end of the 7 years. Puts his foot down in Jerusalem, walks across where that gate's still walled up. Jesus will come down to Jerusalem. He comes down the planet. He didn't come down the planet. We meet him up in the air. This is called the rapture of the church. He doesn't set foot on earth. He comes down, makes a call. We go meet him in the air. We used to sing songs about this. It's great. For the Lord will come down from heaven with a shout, commanding shout, and the believers will meet him in the air. Romans 11, God's mercy on Israel. I ask, this is Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? What happened to Israel? What happened to the Jews? Well, they rejected Jesus. What happened? Well, he just set them aside. Well, I'll go to the Gentiles. And that's what happened on Pentecost. The church was born. He said, has he rejected this? Of course not. I myself, and this is Paul, I myself am an Israelite. I'm a Jew of Jews. I'm a Pharisee. I'm one of the king of the Jews. I'm a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me. God spoke and said, No, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 of them bowed their knee to Baal. You're not the only one. I got people everywhere. You just don't know about them. We don't have a TV program. We don't have a website. I've got people everywhere. For it's the same today. For a few people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness, and for choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it's not by their good works. For that case, God's grace will not be what it is, free and undeserved. Verse 7. So this is the situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God that they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, but the ones God has chosen. But the hearts of the rest were hardened. As the scripture says, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this day he has shut their eyes so they do not see, closed their ears so they do not see. Likewise, David said, let the bountiful table become a snare and a trap that makes them all think well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble. Let them get what they deserve. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see. Let their backs be bent forever. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. I'm still quoting scripture. Have God's people fallen beyond recovery? No, they have not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. Verse 11. This is verse 11. What happened? Well, they were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But what he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. What's he trying? He's trying to make his people jealous. I'm trying to bless you. You don't want them? Well, I'll bless them. What do you think about that? How come? Because you rejected it. I love that. The Gentiles were enriched because the children of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation. Think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. Verse 13. I'm saying all of this especially for Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle of the Gentiles. This is the apostle Paul. God has appointed me as an apostle of the Gentiles. He's a Jew, a Pharisee of a Jew, born a Jew, taught Jews, used to persecute Gentiles, had them stoned to death. He was killing Christians. He was killing, having them stoned because of what they were teaching. And so God knocks him off his horse, blinds for 3 days, and he becomes the great apostle Paul. For since their reaction meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. Verse 17. Here's what he said. We're a branch that's been grafted in. Some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who are branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. You ever see how they graft trees? And I grew up in the country. We've done this. So now you also receive the blessing God promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Don't ever get mad at the Jews. Don't judge the Jews. Because of them, you got grafted in because they rejected God. Verse 19. Well, you may say, these branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, these branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you were there because you do believe in Christ. That's how you got in. You didn't earn nothing. It's just because of what Jesus did. You don't earn this. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. It's salvation. Verse 22. Notice how God is kind to both kind and severe. He's severe toward those who disobeyed, but he's kind toward you who continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will also be cut off. Faith is kind of an everyday thing. Says this, God's mercy for everybody. Verse 25. This is great, great teaching. Verse 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will only last until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. Now, we've been talking about end times, what's going to happen. There's going to come a time, people say, when's the church age end? When the last person is saved. God knows who's going to be saved. That's why evangelism is so important. Local church is so critical. That's why people are on the mission field to this day. What are you doing? Preaching the gospel to lost souls. Jesus said he won't come back till the gospel has been preached to everybody. Well, who's going to know that? Only the Father. Angels don't know it. Even Jesus doesn't. Only the Father knows when that day is. And as soon as the gospel is preached to the last person, Jesus won't come. But after that happens, Jesus will come. That day he'll look at his son. Okay, son, you can go. We've reached the last person. So I want you to understand, all of Israel will be saved. The scripture says, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem. He will turn Israel away from ungodliness. This is my covenant to them. I will take away their sins. Verse 28, many of the people in Israel are now enemies of the good news. And this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people that he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and call will never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but now, when the people of Israel rebel against him, God was merciful to them also. Now, they were all rebels of God's mercy, but they've come, so they're going to share in God's mercy also. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he can have mercy on everybody else. Now, people go, what does that mean? Well, just keep reading. Verse 33, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is for us to understand the decisions of his ways. Verse 34, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? Who has even given him so much of what he needs to pay back? Everything comes from God, exists by God's power, is intended for his glory. All glory be to him forever and ever. Amen. So what's going on? Well, we're in what's called the church age. The church has been born. So I'll give you these scriptures here in closing. John 1, verse 12. But all who believed in him and accepted him have the right to become children of God, Jew and Gentile alike. All who believed in him have a right to become a child of God, Jew, Gentile, heathen. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be born again. You're part of the body of Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. It became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. What did the church do? Grew in numbers. It's been growing ever since. The church will always be here until the rapture of the church when we go home. At that time, there will be no restraint. The Holy Spirit in humans holds the Antichrist back. The Antichrist cannot manifest himself as long as the church is here. When the church is removed, then the Antichrist will be free to do whatever he wants to do. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, Jesus said, he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was on people. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's in people. Not on in. He's in us. He lives in us, moves through us, talks through us, loves through us, works through us. He's in us. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they were all endued with power from on high because the Holy Spirit went in them. 1 Corinthians 10:32. He said, don't give offense to Jews. Don't give offense to Gentiles or the church of God. Why? God's using everybody. It's called the church age. The church is born on the day of Pentecost. It's still here, and it will exist till the day of the rapture when the church goes home in the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Because there's 7 years of Jewish time left. I'm not a Jew. I'm the church. I live in the church age. I'm in the church age. I was born in the church age, and I'll be here until the church age ends. When does the church age end? When God goes back to the last 7 years of Jewish time in Daniel. He's 7 years of Jewish times left. The seven-year tribulation that's been preached on, written about, talked about forever. Especially the last 100 years, got a real hot topic. The day Israel became a nation in 1948, the Bible came alive. All the scriptures that made no sense, nobody understood. I don't understand. What does it mean? All of a sudden it made sense. The Jews are back. They have their language back. They have a nation back. The nation of Israel will never disappear again. Somebody's going to blow them up. No, they'll never be defeated. They'll never be subdued. You got to go through the Bible. God brought them home after 2,000 of being scattered to the four corners of the earth. When they rejected Jesus, they were scattered to the four corners of the earth. But God said in 1940, I'm bringing them home. Now, I've been to Israel several times. There's not one Jew. There's Ethiopian Jews, Romanian Jews, Bulgarian Jews, Canadian Jews. They're from everywhere. God prophesied in the last days, I will bring them back home. Home where? To Israel. Well, you know, Israel was a divided nation. People find out. No. The land from the north to the south to the sea, even into Jordan, that part of the land is Israel. So you got to look where the original land was. God said, I will give them back their land. So whatever's going on, they're going to get their land back. They're not going to share their land. Jerusalem will be the capital. God said it will be the capital. Jesus come back to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. In the 7 years, they'll rebuild the temple. I mean, it's all in the Bible. God does not leave us in the dark. God's going to tell us everything that's going on. It is the greatest time of human history. Now, what we're going to do in the next couple of lessons is really going to give great detail that will really encourage you, because you can't deny the word of God. And there's just hundreds of scriptures we're going to go through that's just so clear. What is it? God's moving. We're living a great time. It is the greatest day of human history to get married. It's the best day to have a baby or a grandbaby. It's the best day to start a business, to start a church, start a ministry. We live in the greatest time of human history. But you got to give them the Bible. Now, if you're just watching the news, you're going to drain. Your faith is going to be killed because the devil's trying to attack our faith. He went after Adam and Eve's faith. Are you sure, God said? Are you sure? From the very first humans on this planet, are you sure? The devil challenges the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That means you need to read your Bible, be in a good local church, be a part of the body of Christ. That's how you build your faith up. You need to read your Bible every day just for a little. Read a proverb a day. Build up yourself on your most holy faith, the book of Jude says. You got faith's a muscle. There's great faith, little faith, weak faith, no faith. Without faith, I cannot please God. Without faith, I don't resist the devil. I got to build myself my most holy faith. So when you begin to build yourself in your most holy faith, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I see how this thing started in Genesis. I see how it ends in Revelation. It ends really good. We win. We win. But when you go through, you got to remember who's talking, who they're talking to, what they're talking about. You got to separate when God's talking to the Jews, when he's talking to the body of Christ, the church. So don't confuse those scriptures. We're going to make it real clear in these next lessons. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to be really good. Guys, thanks for listening. God bless you.